Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Fall is the wonderful time of year for baking. Apple crisp, sweet potato pie, those are on my list. But our list of treats evolves as America changes, and some Asian American bakers are stirring in ingredients from their heritage with traditional American pastries to take a fresh look at identity, family, and sometimes loss. We're joined now by two young entrepreneurs, Winter Xu of Taiwanese heritage and his husband Sam Butar Butar with roots in Indonesia. They fell in love and 5 years ago launched Third Culture Bakery, which is thriving in the Western U.S. The breakout hit is the original mochi muffin, and I've got one in my hand. Winter, Sam, welcome.
Hi, honored to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Great to have you. Okay, couple quick questions before I dig in myself with this muffin. How do you think about identity and why it's important to, bake it into your product here? Sam, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. I grew up in Indonesia, growing up eating tropical fruits and warm spices and very elaborate pastries mm-hmm. and cakes. And so for me, it's such a huge part of me, and it's part of the reason why I wanted to share all those flavors through my pastries.
Well, Indonesia is its own crossroads place, right? I mean, that seems like that's part of the story is, the melding of Malay and Sumatra, Chinese, Indian food. I mean, you have kind of this fusion place to start out with. And I imagine Winter, Taiwan has a little bit of similar global identity, yeah?
Yeah, oh my gosh. I mean, Taiwan, you can't really talk about Taiwan without talking about food, right? So I feel like, growing up there translated into Third Culture Bakery, which, we kind of didn't want to make another croissant or a cookie. And so we wanted to lead with our identity of, rice, baking with rice or cooking with rice, flavors like matcha and stuff that, I just grew up with in Taiwan. And it's also trendy now, but it's just part of my childhood. So, yeah.
So I've got the muffin here, and I don't know if this is mochi muffin heresy. I've got a fork that I'm digging into it right here. The explosion here, because I did a little bit of reading. I didn't have enough time, but I did a little bit of reading of the layer cake from Indonesia that I guess is an inspiration. I want to ask you about that, what I feel, because I've been in Indonesia. I lived in Taiwan for many years.
Oh, cool.
And so I had this jiaozhenggao, right, this nine-layer cake that the Indonesian variation of is in here. And the bounciness, I need a better word in English for this, is at the center here. So you tell me about the inspiration and why this has such this unique chewiness here.
Yeah, so this is Sam. I can totally jump in. And the original mochi muffin was the pastry that started the entire bakery. And like you mentioned, it was inspired by my mom's creation. Every Christmas and every holiday season, she would make these steamed layer cake that's made out of rice flour. There's coconut milk and coconut sugar, and it has this such a satisfying chew with the sweetness of and the little savory notes of the coconut milk and the coconut sugar. And so for me, growing up in Indonesia, but then transplanting to the United States, I've always was craving that flavor, and I wanted to share that with people. And so we created that recipe, but also added our own twist, because growing up here, I love the crispy, crunchy edges of brownies, and I love that satisfying crunch.
And it took off. Do you have feedback? Can you explain how this took off? Winter?
When we opened up our doors for our retail store, a lot of folks would come in and tell us stories of, oh, this reminds me of something my mom made, growing up in the Philippines mm-hmm. or growing up in Thailand. We had this thing that we ate on birthdays or for New Year's. And so I think it has this like sense of nostalgia for Asian kids or kids who grew up in kind of the Southeast Asian area. And I don't know, it's just done in such a creative way. It was kind of like love at first sight.
Yeah. Well, and this next question is for both of you, but specifically Sam, about food and taking us back to specific people, specific places. So at the top of my list, you guys know what pork floss is,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This dried pork, which is one of the world's greatest foods. I'm going to get myself in trouble here.
But,
so I was born in upstate New York, and we couldn't get it. And so it reminds me of my grandmother, my mom's mom, because she knew I loved this, and she smuggled it into America in tea leaf cans, right? Because it violates all these customs rules. There's these cans, these metal cans with tea leaves on the top, and then we'd open it up, and then the contraband is on the bottom, right? The pork floss, the pork is on the bottom. And so these great memories, but then quickly when I think about it, the story turns, because my grandmother has a sad part of her story, right? She wanted to come to America, never got here. Her husband, my grandfather, he died in a prison labor camp.
Mm.
So I feel like food can bring this complexity. And I want to ask you, Sam, this question, because I've read that, I guess, when you were kind of interacting and talking about your life and coming out to your family, it was also a mixed kind of story, yeah?
Yeah, totally. And I'm so happy that you brought that up, because it's kind of a side of our storyline that doesn't get shared a lot. On one part, I'm super proud of like being Indonesian and being able to share that story of my diaspora and coming here and all that rich kind of cultural background and recipes. But the second part is that a little bit heavy is the part that, you know, being gay is not accepted in any corner of Indonesian society, and including my own family. And so, you know, we have this bright colored, you know, pink and loud, and we're all about supporting LGBTQ rights in the bakery, and we're very proud of that. And then in the same token, I am not on speaking terms with any of my family members, just because I was disowned when I came out. I think after a couple years and after a lot of meditation and doing yoga, I kind of was able to compartmentalize it and kind of turned it all around and actually used that struggle as part of our messaging. And that our story is kind of a story that a lot of people still resonate with. And there's a lot of Asian, gay Asian boys and Asian, kids that are still struggling with this duality. And so we just kind of made the bakery just a place of acceptance, of like unapologetic acceptance. And I think that's what kind of keeps me motivated and what keeps us going, is that no matter what your background is and no matter who you are, we celebrate you as you are.
Hmm. I can ask you, and maybe this question to Winter, but both of you, please weigh in, is this issue of Asians and food and identity. I mean, as Asians, our identity as we think about it, as others think about it, is often wrapped in food. And yet there's identity of film, there's identity of literature and all these other things. In some cases, is identity in food limiting? Can it be a trope?
I think about this a lot. About how, you know, we have so much to offer as, Asian Americans. But in recent last couple of months, I kind of felt more and more okay with just food kind of being that main representation. And that comes from a place, I think, of talking to my mom. And, she comes from a generation that we don't really talk a lot about, you know, feelings or other stuff that we enjoy, or, you know, it's either like, oh, this is good or this is bad, or don't do this or do that, you know? And so the only thing that kind of able to get through all of that was food, right? And so food really is the love language. And I realized how important and what significance my parents put on food. And so for me, and now having, you know, a bakery with my husband, I'm learning that, you know, this bakery is also our love language, because, you know, it's, this bakery exists because we kind of fell in love and started something together.
Yeah, I just want to add that, you know, for us, it's like, food is different rather than literature or film in that it's kind of, there's no ideology. So we get a lot of people who come to our bakery not knowing our story or not knowing anything that it's a gay bakery. And having them come into our bakery and eating our food and reading our story, it changes people's minds and hearts. And that is the most touching aspect of our bakery.
Sam Buttar-Buttar and Winter Shu are the owners of Third Culture Bakery, home of the original Mochi Muffin. Huge endorsement for me anyway. Thanks to you both. Much appreciated.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for sharing a story.